بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
حديث number 137 in the chapter that deals with Friday, with the Jumu'ah.
Narrated Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه. Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when the Imam is delivering the khutbah and you ask your companion to keep quiet and listen, then no doubt you have done a lagu, an act which is useless, prohibited and rewardless. Sahih al-Bukhari.
This hadith is highlighting the importance of listening to the Imam. And it is not something to be taken lightly, because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever says to his companion, listen. And the word listen itself, ansit, the word listen itself, is it something that people say without any cause or reason? No, you only tell someone to listen if he is talking or doing something that is not useful. So you're actually doing him a favor. You're actually enforcing virtue by saying, listen. However, despite the fact that this action is something that we may think that it is good, the Prophet says, whoever says this, then he has committed an act of laghu. And laghu, as referred to in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ, those who reject and turn away from laghu. What is laghu? Anything that is not useful, anything that is not beneficial. So the Prophet says, whoever tells his companion, listen, then he has committed something that is considered to be laghu. In another narration, the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَمَنْ لَغَى فَلَا جُمُعَةَ لَهُ, and whoever commits such an act, he has no Jum'ah. And scholars differed in interpreting this portion. Does it mean that his Jum'ah is void and it is not accepted? Or does it mean that the reward of such a prayer has been cancelled? The most authentic opinion is that the Jum'ah, the Friday prayer, is valid, but the reward has been cancelled. So if it's cancelled, why should I sit? I might as well leave. Scholars say, no, you're compelled and you're obliged to sit, though there is no reward. Otherwise, you would become sinful, even worse. And they give the example. When the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever visits or goes to a fortune teller and listens to him or hears him, Allah will not accept the prayers of 40 days from him. And if he goes to a fortune teller or to a priest and believes him, he has nullified his Islam. So what's the difference? The difference is that I went to him just for the sake of listening, not to believe. I'm having fun. It's like when you go to the fun fairs and there is a tent of a fortune teller, and you just go for the sake of playing with your friends. And the woman tells you, after looking in her crystal ball, that this will happen and that would happen, and you laugh because you know that this is a lie, and you leave. Or if you open the newspaper and you go to whatever scope it is, biroscopes, telescopes, whatever scope it is, the signs and the zodiacs. So if I am, for example, a scorpion, or he's a bull, or the other one is a donkey, they have certain zodiacs, and oh, this is my zodiac. Lucky you. And you just go and read yours for the fun of it. What is the punishment? Allah will not accept the prayers of 40 days. Imagine, just for the fun of it. In Arabia, we have some tradition, especially in Egypt and and Syria elsewhere, when they drink the Turkish coffee, they turn, after finishing, the cup upside down. And the remaining of the coffee would cause traces. So after like 30 seconds, you turn it up, and the woman says, oh, you have a problem in your life. Who doesn't? But it's going to be solved. It's always being solved. And you have a friend who will betray you. I have many. But an enemy of yours will come a friend. So many enemies became to be my friends afterwards. So all of this is nonsense. Yet if you have this done to you, or you notice it and witness it, then Allah will not accept the prayers of 40 days. One would say, okay, if Allah Azza wa Jal is not going to accept the prayers of 40 days, why should I pray? Scholars say, if you do not pray, Habibi, my friend, if you do not pray, you become a kafir. You invalidate your Islam. You have committed an act of apostasy. But if you pray, Allah will not reward you, but you will remain a Muslim. So it is a must, it's not a choice. Likewise here, scholars say that speaking to the one next to you is completely prohibited at all. So what happens if someone sneezes and says, Alhamdulillah? We know that it's mandatory for us to say, Yarhamkumullah, not when the Imam is delivering the khutbah. He says, Alhamdulillah, I wouldn't even listen to him. But what happens if someone comes to me while the Imam is giving the khutbah and says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I would not look at him and I would not even answer him. And I wouldn't even point to him doing this, because this is also like saying, listen. So I would completely ignore him. People said, Sheikh, this is rude. This is not rude, this is sunnah. You're teaching him to follow the sunnah. He is the rude one who is trying to nullify my Jum'ah, and then I should not listen to him and should not pay any attention to him. Scholars say that it becomes mandatory to speak if something worse is going to happen. For example, in some masjids, its ceiling is so high, there is a ladder that they use to take and change the light bulbs and whenever maintenance is needed. So while the Imam is giving khutbah, I've noticed that one of the children is climbing up. He's 4 or 5 years old. I know that he's gonna fall and die, but I cannot speak. Tough luck. No, you have to speak or warn his father. Get your son down. And this is considered to be mandatory, because the advantage of speaking is far greater than the disadvantage. Also, scholars say that it is permissible to address the Imam or to answer the Imam when he addresses you. So while in the khutbah, the Imam sees something and he asks you, you, did you do this and that? I'm not even going to look at you. No, he's the Imam. You have to respond to him. You say, yes, I did, or no, I didn't. And also, if you have an urgent need for a question or a correction, for example, the Imam makes a mistake in reciting an ayah, do you hold or sit there without correcting him? No, you have to correct him. Why? Because in prayer, which I'm not allowed to say any single word, if he makes a mistake, I do correct him. If he recites an ayah wrongly, I must correct him. So likewise in the khutbah, if I'm close by and he says a wrong ayah, I correct him only. I correct the wrong ayah that he has said. I believe that this is all what is related to this topic. We move on to the following hadith. The hadith of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him. And we have the brother there.
Narrated Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, any person who takes a bath on Friday, like the bath of Janabah, major state of impurity, and then goes for the prayer, it is as if he had sacrificed a camel. And whoever goes in the second hour, it is as if he has sacrificed a cow. and whoever goes in the third hour, then it is as if he has sacrificed an horned ram. And if one goes in the fourth hour, then it is as if he had sacrificed a chicken. And whoever goes in the fifth hour, then it is as if he had offered an egg. When the Imam comes out, that is, starts delivering the khutbah, the angels present themselves to listen to the khutbah. Bukhari.
We learn that if you go early to the masjid, Allah Azza wa Jal would reward you as early as you go. So if you go in the first hour, and the scholars differed in regards to what is the meaning of the first hour. Is it the 60 minutes that we have? This means that we have 5 hours, 12:30. This means that you start going from 7:30. Is it this hour or is it a period of time? Scholars differed tremendously about it. And unfortunately, we cannot pinpoint exactly what was meant. However, it so appears that the hours to be divided upon the time from sunrise until the time for prayer, which is approximately 60 minutes per hour. How would we say that? Simply because you have to look at the daytime where it is permissible for you to pray, and this is indicated by the rising of the sun, the measurement of a spear. This is about 3 meters high. And in calendars, when it says shuruq al-shams, or the rising of the sun, to be able to pray, you have to add to that 15 minutes approximately. And then you can pray duha prayer, or ishraq prayer, or any prayer you want to pray. So, to continue this, we have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.